When it comes to the spirit world, supernatural, chakras, I'm indifferent. Normally, I just don't mess with any of it. Whether it's real or not, I'm sure not gonna fool around and find out. I'm here to live as normal a life I can, die, and then we can go from there. But I got curious. What would happen if I individually booked readings with a bunch of psychics? I mean, I don't even know what they do. I just know something about them being made of crystals and having three eyes or something. It's a world I've never explored before. Until today. I didn't even know what to expect. Would they all say the same thing? Different things? Would they say I'm cursed and demand to put a ritual on me? Who knows? I booked a reading with 5 different psychics. Let's see what they all said about me. I wanted to keep as much consistency in all of this as possible. You know, scientific method and all that. So I specifically booked a tarot card reading and palm reading from all 5 of them. That way they're all reading the same things for me and we get to be good little scientists in the supernatural community. Anyway, psychic 1. I walked into the shop and saw a table with a bunch of candles and crystals on it. You know, the typical psychic stuff. Now, I've never gone to a psychic at this point. I didn't know what they were gonna do to me. Were they gonna say my name and say they've been expecting me? And for all I know, a real life wizard could walk through the door and speak in riddles to me the whole time. But psychic 1 was a 5-foot-tall middle-aged white lady in a black spaghetti strap tank top and a ponytail. All the psychics had a bit of a different method of doing the tarot card reading, but the overall gist is they had me put my right hand over the stack of cards, say my full name, then I pulled 18 cards that would determine my reading. Psychic 1 pulled the cards herself, though. I didn't get to pick them, so I don't know if that was a non-regulation move or all the other psychics let me pick my cards, I'm just saying. She started with what she read about me as a person. I'm my own boss and don't like being told what to do, which is like half true. Well, being my own boss is full true. Hi guys. In normal day-to-day life, I love having someone else tell me what to do. It's just nice to turn my brain off and put someone else behind the wheel. But with YouTube, it's true. I don't like being told what to do. With the Pokemon XD video, I was asking Jacob what I should do with the thumbnail, and he said I shouldn't have Shadow Lugia in it because it's not that eye-catching. And I was like, no, I'm putting Shadow Lugia in the thumbnail because I love Shadow Lugia. And then I did. So the psychic's pretty on point so far. She said I don't like asking people for things. Everything I have, I worked to gain with my own 2 hands. I'm gonna live a long and healthy life beyond my 80s. And I'm gonna have 3 kids. All of those things are pretty fair. I do think you could say that to the majority of people, though. Even if it's not genuinely true to their personality, I think most people like to believe that's the type of person they are. And if I don't live to be 80, what am I gonna do? Sewer? But that's the very strong skeptic in me talking. She do know me for real, for real. Then she asked if I had any questions for her, and I told her that I constantly worry that my birds are gonna die in some freak accident or sudden disease, or they get out and fly away never to be seen again. She pulled more cards and said she sees that they're safe, but would recommend placing a spiritual protection over them. Which was very interesting to hear. From what she explained, I'd be doing a 3-day, 3-night meditation for them to create a spiritual barrier that can protect them physically, mentally, and medically. Promising medical protection is a big deal. You can't just throw that around lightly, might I just say. And to perform the meditation, I would need to buy the materials from her to do it. She was very big on making sure I knew I wasn't paying for her time, just the materials. Which, how thoughtful. Until she dropped the materials would cost $427. Let's just do a quick rundown on this whole session so we're all up to speed. During this psychic reading, this lady learned I'm my own boss, am successful enough to run my own animation team, care very deeply about my birds, enough to pay a psychic $90 to ask about their safety, and all I have to do to fully protect them from basically anything and everything in this world is set up this spiritual protection for the low, low price of $427. I didn't know you could repel cancer for under 500 bucks. Someone distract the government, I think we're onto something here. I just told her I don't have the money for it right now. A lie she most definitely didn't believe at that point, but I had to say something to stop this snowball in its tracks. And immediately she said, that's fine, but this isn't something you should wait a long time on. Thank you, we'll be in touch. I never went back. For that being my first psychic reading experience, it spawned so many questions, but it did answer one I had beforehand, which was, how how do psychics even stay in business? Because I am now starting to understand the business model going on here. Moving on to psychic two, I'll say this right now, this one was my favorite. She was really nice and we had a lot of good small talk. Her psychic reading room was a little closet in her house, and by the end of the session, it was very warm in there, but I had a nice time. Same situation, got a tarot card and palm reading. I think she said she gave me a general spiritual reading as well, and this all cost $90, just like the last one. What she said was all very positive. She said she sees me making a name for myself in whatever industry I'm in. That was genuinely the first thing she said to me. I didn't tell her about my job or anything. She sees a lot of new and exciting opportunities coming for me in the new year. I got all these readings done late 2022, so by the time this video actually comes out, we get to see if that's true. She also said I'm planned to live a long and healthy life past my 80s, and she foresees me moving to a different location sometime when I'm older, which is most likely true. I don't like LA. It freaks me out. She identified my bad time of the day, which she said is 3 a.m. Again, true. If life gets a bit too hard to handle, I will absolutely have a meltdown in bed at that time. But also, everyone has a meltdown when they're broken and it's late at night. That's a universal bad time. They even wrote a rule in life about it. Nothing good happens after 2 a.m. But it's good to be more aware of because I forget, and 3 a.m. hits different some nights. She said, I've always been connected to animals. I'm gonna be a mother of three. Okay, the other psychic did say that. Mental note. And for some reason said I should get into hiking, which just sounds like a nice hobby recommendation. I didn't know tarot cards and palms could say that. I asked her about my birds. I didn't get the spiritual protection from the other psychic, so they are still in jeopardy. And she said, although she's reading that they should be safe, if I'm worried about any medical issues, I should just go to the vet and get general checkups done. Which, you know, I respect a lot. I came in asking about the health and safety of my animals and she told me what she read, but if I'm actually concerned, to just go to a doctor. And didn't charge me $427 for it. Overall, Psychic 2 was very nice. She gave me a good reading, didn't try to sell me anything, and reminded me that doctors exist. Psychic 3 was kind of back in the same vein as Psychic 1. She almost immediately said I'm gonna live past my 80s and have 3 kids. Alright. She said she sees me having good financial fortune and good opportunities are coming in the new year, but she also said in August, a man with a beard and or mustache is gonna approach me with a business opportunity and to be wary of him. And then, before I could even process that, she said I may be involved in a light car accident in the next few months, possibly a fender bender. This is the first psychic that was this blunt about straight up predicting things, and by the time this video comes out, those months would have passed already, so I'll add right now if I was in a car accident. She also said someone near me is gonna have a baby and that I'm gonna become very attached to it. And that's gotta be the most incorrect sounding prediction of all the psychics so far, because I am not a fan of babies. I don't like them. I think they are weird and unpredictable. I do not care who in my group of family or friends has a baby. I'm staying the hell away from it. She went back to reading me as a person, said I'm very trusting and to be aware of jealous people that are around me. In this industry, that's pretty fair. Then she said it seemed like I had a big purchase on my mind, to which I admitted there was something expensive I saw that I've had my mind on for a while. She asked what it was because she foresaw it being good for me, and I told her about the new giant Altaria plush that Pokemon announced. I don't think that's what she expected though, because she seemed to lose a little focus after that one. But I did end up buying it. I asked about my birds, just like I have been for all of them, and she said they seem safe. However, after reading me for so long, she sensed my chakras were imbalanced, which was a shame because I could have sworn they were properly aligned. Anyway, she would like to help with them. I said, sure, and she hit me with the meditation prayer bit and how I'm only paying for the materials and not her time, and they're gonna cost $375. Much cheaper than Psychic 1, but man, that's like the same setup and kicker. And no medical protection to boot. I politely declined and left. I gotta say though, this psychic was the first one to straight up tell me, you're gonna be in a car accident. A bearded man is gonna approach you in August. Like, just real life things. Whether or not they come true, you gotta respect that gamble. Definitely an all or nothing type of psychic. She was also the most expensive one yet. The other psychics were both $90, but this one charged me $162 for the readings. Now, Psychic 4, was a doozy, might I tell you. I walked up to her shop door, entered the room, and no one was there. I immediately walked back out because it's weird to be just there alone, and texted her I was here, to which she responded, "Give me 15 minutes. Kinda strange a psychic is running late, but I'm not here to get into that irony." So I just sat on a little chair and waited outside. 15 minutes passed, then 20, 30. This lady was 40 minutes late to a psychic reading. I brushed it aside because whatever, and we started. She let me pick my tarot cards, laid them out in the formation, and told me she's very surprised I picked a lot of queen cards. Apparently, in the standard tarot card deck of 78 cards, there's 4 queens, and I randomly picked 3 of them. She explained that's no accident. So you heard it here first, people. Certified and indisputable queen over here. The stars said so. She led with how she sees I have a good, strong energy. I work for everything I have. I've got good financial stability. I'm gonna run my own company and be a good leader. But she sees a lot of jealous people around me and to be careful about them. I tried to explain YouTube to her because I felt like that would explain all the things she just said, since all things considered, it's pretty accurate. But after like 5 minutes of trying to explain what a YouTube channel is, she just gave up and was like, "Sorry, I just don't understand technology." Fair enough. Also, sure, all of what she said was surprisingly accurate, but I'm always wary of what can be used as a blanket statement, especially when it comes to the financial stuff, because I don't know, I think going to psychics is a bit of a luxury expense. Not everyone can afford to pay upwards of $100 just to be told they've got positive vibes and are gonna be in a car accident. But then Psychic 4 said, "I don't know how you do it, but you're making at least X per month," and gave me a very specific range of what I actually do make per month. That's what definitely perked my ears up. You know, I don't have a normal job, and even after not understanding how I make money, she was able to drop a number that was pretty close, all things considered. Then she said she sees me living a long and healthy life, and that I'm gonna be a mother of 3. I haven't directly talked about it yet, but I would like to say it's hauntingly strange how literally all 4 psychics have told me I'm gonna be a mother of 3. None of them even asked me if I like kids in the first place. They just straight up told me point blank. I don't know what about me is giving off I'm gonna have 3 kids vibes, but it needs to stop. I absolutely do not want 3 kids. It's too many kids for me to handle. I'm gonna have to figure out how to change the fates, like, immediately, because it's all feeling a bit too real at this point. They also all said I was gonna live a healthy life past my 80s. So if I die at 50, I want all of my money back. Anyway, Psychic 4 kept talking, saying it seemed my birds are safe, because I asked, but there seems to be a negative energy trying to attack them, to which she'll start meditating to protect them. Also, my chakras seem unaligned, and my third eye isn't very developed despite how old my soul is, which sure is a sentence, so she recommended a chakra meditation thing. She had me lay on her table under a lamp of RGB crystals and turned on relaxing spa music. Then she told me to close my eyes, because when your eyes are closed, your third eye opens, and that's why you dream when you sleep. It's your third eye. You learn something new every day. Anyway, I laid there, she gave me some crystals to hold, and put more crystals on my chest and stomach and legs, and put a bell on my forehead that she would ring every few minutes. After a bit of that, she told me she had to leave the room for 5 minutes so her energy doesn't interfere with mine. But I could swear she left me on that table alone and blindfolded for like 15, maybe more. After she remembered I was still there, she came back, sprayed me with lavender, which was pleasant, did little karate chops on my body, and then had me sit up. I did hit my head on the RGB crystals, so I hope that didn't jostle my chakras. And that was that! She said I had a lot of energy, and that I'm an old spirit, but I need to develop my third eye more, and she's gonna send me home with a couple incense to burn, and that I need to come back tomorrow. At this point, I was in too deep. All the other psychics, I was able to squeeze my way out of these situations, but I just ended up doing it this time, mainly because she told me to burn incense, but I didn't have an incense burner, and then she lent me hers, and I didn't want to just take it and dip. So I burnt the incense like she told me to, and went back the next afternoon thinking that was it, and after that I could start not coming back anymore. But then she gave me some crystals, more incense, and bath salts this time, and told me to meditate in the bath while holding the crystals and also burn more incense, which meant I go home with her incense burner again. And that's when my friends told me to stop there and not go back. So I didn't. By the way, she charged me $776. I have no idea how she did that. She said the chakra thing where I lay on the table was like $100 or $200 extra. And then after we were done, she gave me the card reader and it said $650, to which I was just like, sure, whatever. And then my email receipt said $776. Again, I am reminded of how these people actually stay in business. She called me a queen, gave me a crystal nap, and then took $800 from me. And last but not least, Psychic 5. So for her, when I call to book an appointment, she told me she only takes cash and that I have to call 30 minutes before our appointment to confirm. So I did that a few days later when our appointment was scheduled, and she's like, oh, I'll be honest, honey, I completely forgot about you. Can we reschedule to tomorrow? Which is like, first of all, how does a psychic forget? I rescheduled to the next day, but a few hours later she called me back and was like, actually, I overbooked you on top of a different appointment. Can we reschedule to next week? And at this point, I'm annoyed, but again, I'm like, whatever. So we reschedule again. I called to confirm 30 minutes before again, and once again, she forgot. So I just gave up. Tell me how many kids I'm gonna have! And that was my psychic experience. I'm still pretty indifferent about all of it, but I can totally see how and why people can get super into it if they surround themselves with the culture. Whether it's real or I believe it or not, it was surprisingly nice to be told things were gonna be okay. I do think some of them can be a bit predatory on people at their low points, but hey, it's great to have my chakras rebalanced.
Cool new guy alert. We made a super cute Ari pillow available now. Look at this big man. He is huge and super soft and awesome. Head over to jadenanimations.com to pick one up. I genuinely love him so much. Also, I've been streaming a lot more recently and wanted to say the influx in art from all of that has absolutely blown me away. Thank you guys all so much. I try to see all of it, but it's quite literally impossible. But yes, thank you. Thank you. All right. Until next time. Bye bye. I've always been an animal lover. Ever since I saw a picture of a dog, I've been like, I want that. I still love and respect animals, but as a kid, it was pretty intense, not gonna lie. Can we get a dog? Can we get a dog? Can we get a dog? My parents had to sit through years of that until my dad finally couldn't handle it anymore and got me one for my 7th birthday against my mom's will. Before that, they tried everything to make me stop, besides getting me a dog. And by everything, I mean a bunch of fish. Maybe if we shape these fish into a dog, she won't notice. They'd come home with 2 fish from the pet store that would last for about a week, die, and then get replaced. Repeat until dog appears. How many fish must die before I get what I want? Since we got fish from the pet store and not an actual breeder, that was probably a big contributing factor on why they died so quickly. But as a 5-year-old, I also just forgot to feed them a lot, so there's gotta be some fish blood on my hands for that. We went through probably 20 fish in the span of a couple months, but eventually we got these 2 goldfish that didn't die. A true miracle. They were pretty resilient little dudes. One was Goldie, and the other was probably named Fishy. Probably some of the most creatively flawless names I've ever known. But after a while, Goldie turned white, so I renamed it Rainbow because I thought it was cool he could change colors. I learned 13 years later from my marine biology teacher that Goldie/Rainbow was probably diseased, which makes the color change less exciting. We eventually gave them away to my mom's friend and they died. But that's all besides the point. My parents got me an army of fish and a dog I named Scruffy, but that was it. I wasn't able to crack them any further than that. And believe me, I tried. My parents had to become stone-faced, emotionless soldiers to keep my non-stop beseeching for more creatures at bay. After they got me a dog, I was pretty sad. Satisfied for about a year and a half until I decided I wanted a mouse. Something about their cute little faces and how they crawl with their cute little feet and their freaking ears made me obsess over having one, and my parents got to hear all about it. I asked my parents for a mouse for years, promising how I'd take care of it and blah 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 the whole thing. My mom pretty much hates rodents because she thinks their tails are weird, so there was no budging on that one. She tried to get me to stop by saying, "Alright, you can get a mouse, but we'd have to get rid of Scruffy." Which is obviously a bad bang for your buck. No, what? No, no way, nuh-uh. I'd never get rid of Scruffy, he's my pal for life. But not gonna lie, after hearing that response over 10 times, I started kinda considering it. I wasn't ever actually gonna do it. I was just getting desperate, alright? When I was 10, I wrote on my Christmas wish list that I wanted a mouse because I thought for some reason I'd foiled their plans and found a loophole. Ha! You can't override the power of the holy Christmas spirit. Christmas morning rolled around and I ran into the living room where all the presents were to not only find no mouse, but a computer mouse. Nice salt in the wound there, Mom. I got my hopes up way too high. My disappointment was immeasurable, and my Christmas was ruined. I did get a computer, though, so that was cool. After my parents endured 5 years of me asking for a mouse, I read this book series called Maximum Ride, which was about these teenagers who had bird wings and were on the run to not get captured by the scientists who wanted to keep experimenting on them. It was my favorite book series as a kid, and it made me really like birds. Which resulted in the next animal obsession. I swear to God, if I hear one more mention of a mouse again, I'm gonna-
Mom, can we get a yellow-naped Amazon parrot?
Yes, I started loving birds back when I was in sixth grade. Everyone say a big thanks to James Patterson for creating this bird-obsessed monster. At the time, I wanted one of the big boy birds. A yellow-naped Amazon parrot, to be exact. I would spend hours just watching all the YouTube videos I could find of them and sending them to my parents like, look, look how great they are! You totally want one now, don't you, after watching one play in a box and sing Old MacDonald? This was a whole new type of fixation. I mapped out on the ground where the cage could go with tape, googled where Amazon parrot breeders were near me. I made multiple PowerPoint presentations for my parents on why they should let me get a parrot. It was intense, and the pressure was on. My mom was even like, so how about that mouse? But no, Mom. That ship has sailed. Now I want a 15-inch parrot that lives for 80 years. They started telling me, you can get a bird when you move out. And from then on, it was my goal to get out of my parents' house as soon as I could. Obviously, I never got a yellow-naped Amazon parrot, but I never really got out of my bird phase because I've got this that comes right here. I was pretty self-aware that asking for a parrot was a long shot, so even though I still wanted a bird, I dialed back my animal requests, and when I was 14, I started really liking flying squirrels. They were my favorite animal for a while, and that's when I realized people can have them as pets. Sugar gliders.
Mom, can we-
Sugar glider, add that one to the list. I don't think I actually bothered my parents too much about getting flying squirrels as much as the mouse and parrot, but I know they knew I wanted one. And I knew they were gonna say no. So I guess I just kept that one a bit more internal. During the summer, we would visit my family in Canada, and my cousin Peyton was really obsessed with ferrets at the time. So we would spend literally entire days on the computers together, researching ferrets and flying squirrels, and Amazon parrots, because they were still my number one obsession, lest not forget. We wrote down general facts we learned in Word documents, planned out how to care for them, added up how much money they cost, including cages, food, bedding, etc., etc. We were the same amount of obsessed. It was a lot of fun, actually. We bonded a lot during those times, and she's still one of my best friends. She also never got a ferret, so sad times there. Peyton also got a rat named Lola, and that made me really want a rat. Which, of course, meant...
Mom!
Lola was so sweet and smart, and I always wanted to play with her. But that's also true with almost anyone's pets. If I come over to your house and you have any type of pet, I will be personally offended if you don't let me play with it for at least 3 hours. So I did have a small point where I was asking if my parents would let me have a rat, and my mom was like, nope, and I'd be all, but what about the time you were gonna let me get a mouse because I was asking for a parrot? And she would say, nope, that ship has sailed. Touché, mother. During 10th grade, I was also starting to really like raccoons. I thought they were sneaky and cool, and I googled if people had them as pets as a random, not serious thought. But surprise, surprise, some people do have raccoon pets. Just kidding, they rip up couches and dig holes in walls, and I'm not that devoted to raccoons. But I still dreamed about having a raccoon buddy someday. Finally, I graduated from high school and moved into a dorm in college that didn't allow pets, which was torture for me. I waited all this time to move out, and I'm still not able to bring a horde of mice, rats, birds, sugar gliders, and maybe a raccoon into the rooms. But YouTube started kicking off shortly after, and I moved back in with my parents to pursue that. Flash forward a bit, and I was finally able to get Ari. After 10 years of wanting a bird, I'd finally done it. And what a gander he is. Was he worth the wait? No, he's a dumb bird. You're good. You're a good bird. I'm not currently looking to get any more animals right now, even though I really want them. I have Ari, and he's already enough of a handful, so I can't commit to anything else right now. I am gonna get a dog eventually. That's a promise. And I do really like reptiles, so I've done my fair share of research on skinks, But that's only a 30% chance to actually happen. I haven't really grown out of my animal phase. I've just become a mix of that and my parents. Still hopelessly entranced by creatures, but also being the one who has to tell myself no because I have other stupid responsibilities. Hopefully when I have kids, they won't be as animal obsessed as I am, because I don't think I have the strength my parents had to be able to say no to any animals they ask for. Thank God my parents were responsible and never got me animals just because I asked for them. Otherwise, I'd be living in a zoo. Now, I know you guys, and this is absolutely gonna trigger a bombardment of tweets to me with pictures of the pets you have, and all I can say to that is, bring it on. It took a while, but the Ari bags and a lot of other new things are now being sold on the shop, so you might be interested in some of that. I'm sorry it took a while to get finished, but I hope you like the stuff. That's all I want to say for now. Yeah, bye.
As a kid, I played a lot of DS games. I would be excited to go to the store with my mom while she ran errands just to be able to look at the games in the video game section, and some days, if I was lucky, she would let me get one. Since I didn't know anything about game reviews or top sellers as a kid, I would often choose games based on the cover art and nothing else, like a shallow commoner. So the day I saw this epic-looking dinosaur with flames on it, I knew it was dinosaur gamer time. I had a flashback to when I played this game called Fossil Fighter the other day. I don't remember anything about it other than the fact I just played it a little as a kid and there were cool dinosaurs, and I think I got stuck at the beginning and never finished it. I haven't heard anything about it since, and I'm surprised I was even able to scrounge around and dig up that old dusty memory. I decided to play it and see what Fossil Fighters was really like, because something in my mind told me it was worth revisiting. You boot up the game and the intro... Oh, that's familiar. When did this game come out? Yeah, alright, okay. Anyway, I'm not saying anything, let's just start the game. We're not even 5 seconds in. I'm ready for an epic dinosaur adventure. Hell yeah. Play alone? Sure, yeah, if that's how you're gonna phrase it. The game opens up with you on a boat talking to the captain about starting your journey to become a fossil fighter on Vivisaur Island, where you dig up fossils, revive them, and then the natural next step of fighting them against each other. Also, I guess I'm a boy. Oh man, I'm excited to start working to become a world-renowned fossil fighter. I'm ready for the grind. The blood, sweat, and tears. Hours, days, weeks of honing my skills and training my Vivisaurs to the best of their ability. I'm gonna give it my all and... Is that what I look like? No time to get stalled on comedically questionable character designs. I've gotta get Vivisaur finding ASAP. I'm off! Look at me go! They've even supplied me with a map of all the important buildings on the island. We've got the hotel, the fossil stadium, the fountain, Beth. Dr. Diggins is the main Vivisaur scientist slash researcher on the island, and he tells me about fossil reviving and fighting. Apparently, you only need a Vivisaur's head fossil to be able to fight with it. Oh, you're saying I can't have a dinosaur with just legs? Just watch me! Let me revive them legs! They'll kick your ass! He gives me my first fossil to clean and teaches me the basics. The hammer breaks up the rock, the drill gets the finer details, and you can blow into the microphone to blow off the dust particles. After hearing that part, I had to run a quick scientific test. Yep, screaming works just as well. You find fossils at designated areas of the island you travel to. Greenhorn Plains is the only one open to me right now because I'm just a teeny tiny baby level 1 fighter. I'm no soy boy. I left my friends and family to live alone in a hotel on Dinosaur Land. Watch me dig up this fossil like a pro and I'll show you who's the... Oh, what the? Oh, this area is blocked off because there's super mega rare fossils over there and you'll only let me pass by giving you all my dino medals, which are the only devices used to show you're a fossil fighter and have access to your Vivisaurs? No, I'm not stupid. I know a sketchy situation when I see one. Fine, take them, let me in there! But not because you fooled me, I just have nothing better to do. That guy stole my dino medals, and also there's nothing but trash here. God damn, I knew it! Hey! You get further in the game and learn about this evil organization called the BB Bandits, who are causing trouble and steal a sacred artifact from the Dig-a-Dig tribe's pyramid. Oh, sorry. Dig-a-dig-a-mid. Some high-level fossil fighter went in there to find them, but hasn't come out yet, so the tribe wants to send backup. Yeah, I guess Rosie and I can help you out with that. We'll just head on in there. Oh, what you doing there? Those are some deep hip swings you got going on. Whoa, jeez! You can't just... Dude, she's dead. Well, I guess now it's just me going into this stupid dark digi-mid. I'm always the one having to fix all this frickin'... Oh, found him. Guys, I found the BB dudes. See, right there. So I see him. There's a weird dog and some pointy-nosed free- Ah! Well, that didn't go to plan. I didn't... Oh my god, it's Rihanna. And that's where the game ends. Forever trapped in the basement of a Digga Digga mid. Just kidding. But I'm not joking to tell you I did have to look up a walkthrough because I couldn't figure out the dang puzzle to get out. But I defeated the BBs with my strong Vivisaurs and got this tacky idol. Yay. I'll just put that there. The game continues and you have more encounters with the BB bandits. Collect more weird idols the game doesn't even really think are cool either. Meet other people whose names are all just puns of their character. It's a bit of a grind to go out and dig fossils and then bring them back to clean only for the chance of getting a fossil you need. But I think I'm kinda getting the hang of it now. One thing that even after going through hours of the game I just couldn't get was the Vivisaur type advantages and disadvantages. Air, earth, fire, and ground. And neutral, but those guys are lame. Apparently, fire beats earth, earth beats air, air beats water, and water beats fire. None of that makes sense to me besides the water and fire one, and I couldn't remember the chart for the life of me even after putting 25 hours into the game. I eventually was able to remember air is good against water, but only because I would just think of this. Rosie gets kidnapped, and after rescuing her, you learn the police chief is the BB bandit boss, so I think you guys are gonna need to do something about that. Then Rosie asks you to meet her at the park at night. She talks about how she was trying to act tough when she was kidnapped, but was genuinely scared and didn't know what was gonna happen to her. And she was so relieved to see me when I came to rescue her. She's thankful for all the times I've saved her, from the guy who scammed her and stole her dino medals, from when she was struck by lightning, from a pit of man-eating sharks. I'm not joking. Then she asks if I hate her by now because of all the trouble she's caused for me. Yes. Alright, so I thought this game would pull one of those, oh Jaden, now's not the time to make jokes, haha. But if you tell Rosie you hate her, she genuinely gets upset and there's no redos. Oh, that's good stuff right there. By this point in the game, you've been having random encounters with this mystery girl named Duna. I don't know what her deal is, but she looks like Zelda. I've become a tough level 6 fighter by now, so I'm allowed to go to Mount Lava Flow, which is literally just a volcano. They're allowing a child to go jump into an active volcano. So you're feeling all high and mighty at this point. Look at me, I have permission to dig up fossils in a volcano. Hee hee hee. And there's a giant meteor in the way. Well, it was worth a try. Oh, hey, Duna, what are you doing here? I was just... Whoa! Oh, that was amazing. Thanks, Duna. I'll just be on my way. Duna? Thanks, Duna. I really owe you one. I'm on a mission from the professor to gather up all these weird, tacky idols because we think there's some mysterious power they have, and you're evil. Give me the idols! No! Give me the idols! No! Wait, you're a dinosaur now? Wait, we're fighting? Haha! Maybe now you'll think twice before challenging me, the almighty level 6 fossil fighter. Oh, shit! So you save Duna, and she thanks you and apologizes for thinking all humans were pathetic and selfish and an evolutionary mistake. A bit harsh, but I guess she apologized. She then explains how she's not human and in fact Dinorian, and her king is planning to destroy all humanity and take over the planet. Wait, what? Wait, now we're in space? What is happening to this storyline? I thought I was just gonna beat up dinosaurs. So Dino, the Dinorian king, is like, I will kill all humans and take over your planet. And Dune is like, no, don't! We were wrong about humans! They're actually not stupid like we thought! And Dino's all, I'm not listening to you! So I beat him in a fossil fight. And he changes his mind and is like, humans are intelligent! I was wrong! And then this guy Raptin comes in and is like, I will continue the king's plans! And presses the kill humans button. And Duna and Dino's all, no! And I'm still just standing there with my dumb face. So bada bing, bada boom, now this Gun-Nash guy is coming to eat the Earth. Oh, so this is my problem now. Jaden, this teleporter will teleport you to Gun-Nash. You're the most skilled fossil fighter we've got, so you're gonna have to fossil battle Gun-Nash's 3 brains. It won't be easy, but you have to win. You can do it. Wait, so I'm gonna fight his brains? I'm going with him! I would like to go as well. Jaden, we've gone through so much. Growing as fossil fighters together and going on so many adventures. You've saved me from so much and I owe you my life. It's time I step up. We can do this. Together. Yeah, I'm picking Duna. Sorry, Rosie, but you're pretty useless and Duna's cool. There's been so much talk and hype about the wrath of Gun-Nash. He sounds terrifying. Now that I've gotta fight his brains, I started getting curious about what he looks like since everyone fears him so badly. Oh. Well, I mean, that's a planet-eating mouth if I've ever seen one. You beat Gun-Nash's brains and are supposed to be teleported out of there, but the teleportation malfunctions, and when you're beamed back to the lab, you realize Duna's been turned to stone with no way to be resurrected. No! It should have been Rosie! I was getting pretty bummed about that because I really like Duna a lot. But Chieftain Dig-a-Dig shows up and tells about a prophecy and the power of hip shaking. And if I shake my hips hard enough for Duna, she should be revived. I'm shaking my hips so hard for you, Duna. Oh my god, you don't even know! She's alive! My hips brought you back! Roll the credits! I loved Fossil Fighters way more than I thought I would. The game's charming and fun and just the right amount of self-aware to make it entertaining and funny, which I didn't expect at all. There were a few times where a character dialogue actually made me laugh, and it was surprisingly packed full of story. I didn't even get to talk about half of what went on in the game. It's one of the only games I know that can have this type of graphics and animation and somehow just make it work perfectly. It's not a video game monument or something to go down in history, but it doesn't take itself seriously and tries its best to make sure you'll have a good time and a few laughs while playing it. And I'm glad I was able to experience this weird, weird game again.
PSA, I have to give literally the biggest thanks to Chica Conroy for letting me use his modded 3DS so I can record the footage for the game. He's honestly the one who made this video possible. So thank you, dude. It's really appreciated. I've been really enjoying the animated video game content because I don't think anyone's really doing it, and I'm having a lot of fun making them. So I have a request. If you have a 3DS capture board from the maker Loopy, please send me an email and I'll happily pay you to send it over so I can keep making these videos because without one, I can't record the footage. Also, please attach a video of the device working as well, so I know it works. I appreciate you supporting me with all the new stuff, and hopefully you stick around for some more. If I can get a DS. Yeah, see ya. Thanks.
Hello everyone, sorry I haven't uploaded in a while. As you know, as most of you should know, I was really busy working on the new Aya's Cupcake animation, the Surgeon Simulator one, but I am back, and I'm working on my next animation for you all. But for now, here's some questions that you've sent to me through Twitter and DeviantArt. Where do you get your animation ideas for your channel? I've just gotten all my ideas from society and the world around us, whether it be from noticing things, just walking around, embarrassing real-life experiences. So basically, all the stories that I'm animating for y'all are just from the juices of life. Do you have any animation tips or tricks? When I was just starting, like I said in my last Q&A, My first animation experience was a huge project, and at the time I had no idea how to actually animate or do anything, and it was scary, it was intimidating. So I would say, don't start off with a huge idea or skit, because chances are it'll get overwhelming, it'll get confusing, you don't know what the heck in the world is going on. So start off with the basics, I don't know, like a bouncing ball or a walking guy, just to get an understanding of the animation process, and then you can go from there. Will you make animations for other YouTubers? I would love to work with other YouTubers. Working with Pupquake is so awesome. They are amazing people, and I'd love to reach out to some other YouTube channels. I've recently become obsessed with British YouTubers, so I feel like it'd be fun to work with one of them. My favorites are Den and Phil. Most of you should know them, and I feel like they would have some really great animation ideas. Maybe you guys can help me get in contact with them, like pre-sum or something. I don't know. Moving on. Am I Team Torchic, Team Trico, or Team Mudkip? Pokemon Ruby was the first ever Pokemon game I ever played, and it's my favorite. And the first time I ever played through it, I picked Torchic, and ever since I was hooked, I love Torchic. Torchic is bae. Also, Blaziken is tied with being my all-time favorite Pokemon ever. Not to say that I dislike Trico or Mudkip, I still love them both, but I always go with my fiery karate chicken. What is 2 plus 2? Do I need to? If I could be any animal that matches my personality, what would it be? This is kind of a funny coincidence, because in junior high, I was in a class and somehow we got on the topic of deciding what animal I would be, and apparently the class thought I would be a bunny, so I guess being a bunny wouldn't be that bad. You know, hopping around, eating grass, until you're savagely eaten by a coyote. But you know, besides that, that'd be pretty cool. How big of a Pokemon fan are you? You all do not understand. I am such a big Pokemon fan. I've played almost all the main games, some side games, I have merchandise, and I actually play it competitively. Yes, there is a technical side to Pokemon that many people are not aware of. It includes complicated things like EVs, IVs, natures, stats, abilities, stuff like that. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, then you are not ready. Once you are enlightened, you can never play it the same way again. You have been warned. Do you like drawing traditionally or digitally? I started off drawing on paper just like anyone else would. Crayons, markers, stuff like that. So I was always used to paper when I was growing up. But when I got my first drawing pad, I started drawing digitally a lot more. And now I really like drawing digitally just because it's so much easier to fix things or undo something. Control Z is my god. So I am much more of a digital drawer now. Do you play any other games other than Pokemon? I'm just a big Nintendo fan. All my favorite games are made by them. I love Animal Crossing, Kirby, Smash Bros, Mario. Kate and I love playing Cooking Mama together because we rage when we ruin the dish by washing all the rice down the sink or burning the beef in the stir fry because the stupid onions wouldn't cook fast enough. I basically enjoy all the cute cartoony games. What is your advice for people learning to draw? I would say, don't let anything discourage you. If you're passionate enough towards drawing, then you need to keep doing it. Practice literally makes perfect when it comes to drawing. One tip that I figured out is, you shouldn't compare your work with other people's. Everyone draws differently, they all have their own style, and comparing yourself only discourages you. Also, listen to what other people say about your work. Don't just, quote-unquote, block out the haters, because the art world is based on criticism and how people perceive your artwork, so listening to other people's points of view can help you grow as an artist and get better. Well, that's all the questions I have time for. Thank you to everyone who sent one in. If you want to ask a question for the next Q&A, be sure to follow me on Twitter and DeviantArt. I love you all, and goodbye!
I'm not one to jump on sponsorship opportunities or promoting products. I get a lot of emails from companies willing to give me deals or money to mention their products in a video, and I've always turned them down because I don't think ads fit very well on this channel. But I recently received one opportunity that would be too good to pass up. Samurai Buyer. The reason why this email caught my attention is because I saw the YouTuber I Hate Everything get the same opportunity a while back. He made a really funny video about this and ended up having some fun with Misaki, who's the owner of Samurai Buyer. I suggest you go watch his video. It's extremely entertaining. If you stop by, tell him I say hi. So since Alex had so much fun with Misaki, I thought, you know what? Why not? I want to see what I can do, too. And after sending a few emails and talking to Misaki for a while, I can conclude that I love this man. He's the most innocent cinnamon roll of a Japanese man who just doesn't know English very well, and I can't express how much he has won my heart. Misaki's gonna be watching this video because we're best friends, so hey Misaki, how's it going? I'm just gonna show everyone our emails and conversations, and I'll get right into the items you sent me. Thanks, dude. Love ya. Alright, so it all started when I got the first email here. My name is Misaki from Japan. We are currently looking for YouTube partners to work with us and promote Samurai Buyer. And he basically says he'll send me free items as long as I make a video about it. And I was like, alright, I understand that this man doesn't know English very well. Am I doing this? I'm doing this. Greetings, Sir Misaki. I am Jaden from United States. I am very in love with many of your store products and fantasize buying them on numerous occasions. I am quite honored that you desire to sponsor me with gifts from your shop personally. It makes me feel very special, and I hope I have made you proud, good sir. However, on my YouTube company, I do not create content of unboxing the merchandises. This is a problem, to say the least. Although I cannot produce a short film to upload for my people, if you send me a box of goodies, I am very willing to share with them on my social medias. Hope to hear from you very soon. Jaden Animations. At this point, I wasn't sure if I wanted to make a whole video about this, so I thought maybe I could get him to send me a box and I could just tweet out the crazy stuff he sends me. But oh, do I have some stuff to share with you guys about this. It would have been a crime not to make a video about what I got myself into. Just stay tuned. It gets crazy. Hello, Jaden. Thank you for your reply. I understand that unboxing video will not really suit your channel. However, we would like to offer you to make some tutorial video of how to use Samurai Buyer with your wonderful animation skills, which I personally like it. What do you think? Misaki. Dearest Misaki. Oh my! That is a wonderful idea. You are one brilliant man, Sir Misaki. I am blessed to be in your presence via electronic mail. I would love to share your products to the world with my videos through the magic of motion of animation. How many items will you be sending? I want to be able to make a long enough video so that my kings will be satisfied with me. I want to make them proud of me as well. They are my happy. Harambe 1999 to 2K16. Jaden Animations. Hello, Jaden! I am reviewing your animation for past 3 days. I just like them. You can just tell me what sort of items you like to get. Maybe something like $120 at first. Misaki. I didn't know what he meant by $120 at first. I thought he wanted me to send him $120 to have him ship the items, and I was like, no, I'm not spending $120 on this. Peace and love, Misaki. I'm not sure what you mean by $120. Are you implying I send you money? I cannot pay money because my money goes to my dog that I have in my house. I have to pay him money to keep him happy. It is a complicated relationship. If you would send me the craziest and most insane things you have to offer in your shop, I will be a happy camper. I myself am quite crazy and most insane, and want to be blown away with the surprises you will be delivering to me. Wow! The more items, the merrier. Send me as many items as your company can. I can handle it, don't worry. I accept the challenge. I shot the sheriff. Jaden Animation. And then he says, $120 for you to choose the items. Misaki. That didn't really answer my question. Mr. Misaki, am I paying for this? Or are you sending them for free? Just send me what you think I would like. I trust you, senpai. Jaden Animations. And then he says, hello, senpai! Senpai? Okay, I pick up the best items for you. Misaki. Thank you very, very much, sir, Mr. Misaki. I will make a good video with them. I won't let you down. Before I send you my shipping information, I have one question you must answer. How are you doing today? I am curious because you are a hard-working man and I hope you are doing well. I await patiently for your reply. Jaden Animations, Jaden Draws. Hello, Jaden-senpai. I am great, thank you. Anyway, you have Skype? Notice me, Misaki. So, I'm guessing that since he's always talking to a bunch of other YouTube people who are also aware that he doesn't know English very well, they're saying things to him like, notice me, senpai? And he's picking it up and saying it too? Anyway, so I add him back on Skype and he says, hi, senpai. Oh, he makes me so happy. Then we chatted a bit and he asked if I could hop into a call. Now, I don't like calls. They give me anxiety. But I was like, you know what? I'll do it. I'll do it for Misaki. So we had a nice conversation for like 10 minutes. I got to tell him I'm half Japanese, my mom's Asian, and my dad's white. And he's like, oh, we're similar. And then he started joking about rice fields. Is that racist? I don't know if that's racist or not. So now he's talking about rice fields and goes on to say, oh, you need to visit sometime and see. I mean, all jokes aside, Misaki, if you want to fly me over to Japan, I am so down to come visit you since we're best friends now. We'll frolic in those rice fields. Just hit me up. And in the call, he also mentions iDubbbz. iDubbbz is a YouTuber who's also done a video about Misaki and Samurai Buyer. His video is more PG-13, so if you're not into that stuff, you probably shouldn't watch it. Otherwise, he has a pretty entertaining video too. So Misaki says, oh, do you know iDubbbz? You're both in the United States. I do not know iDubbbz, but come on, man, we're both in the United States. Why haven't we met yet? So that was the gist of the call, and he said he'd mail the items as soon as possible. So now I'm hyped. I'm excited to make this video. There's so much funny stuff I wanted to share with you guys, but wait, there's even more. He messages me again a few days later saying, are you there? And I was like, senpai, hey there. Oh, okay. I had some English question. Alright, we will be making banner on the top page of Samurai Buyer, like Pokemon, Dragon Ball, snacks, and Japan exclusive items. I am looking for the catchy phrase for each banner. Do you have any idea? Example Pokemon banner. Let's catch all Pokemon! Like a slogan for the entire website? And he goes, nope, on each contents. Banner. Ah! And then he says the categories again. So something I suggest can literally be on the official Samurai Buyer website, and I am freaking out. This just keeps getting better and better. I know what I need to do. Yes! What if for the Dragon Ball one you wrote, Dragon Ball, over 9,000! Over 9,000? Oh, power! Yeah, because in the show they say that. I am still open for everything. We do not have American staffs here, but we are selling items for American. Lol. I'll help you out, buddy. I love slogans. Thank you. Pokemon must go! I swear to God. I'm just sitting here watching this whole thing unfold perfectly right in front of me. How did I get here? What about for the Japanese exclusives? For all your weeaboo needs. Ha 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 ha. Is it okay to use weeaboo? In the public? Like business? You're marketing for mainly the teen and young adults, right? They use that language all the time. Oh, okay. This was all at like 2 a.m. for me, so I was getting a bit too loopy. I told him I'd help him think of more tomorrow, and he sent me this cute emoji with a guy standing on a podium with confetti. So the next morning he brings up the slogan again, and he still needed one for the snacks category. So I suggested, I'm hungry! Because when you want to eat snacks, you're most likely hungry. He seemed to like that one, and that was that for a bit. I didn't really give it another thought until I decided to randomly look at their website, which I actually hadn't done up to that point yet. And look what I find! He actually used my slogan for his banner! Legit, it's on his website! You can go see for yourself! That's mine! Oh my god. I got so many of those happy, excited tingles, you don't even know. He also used his Pokemon one, too. Pokemon must go! I didn't come up with it, but I take credit for it because when he suggested it to me, I was like, yes, use that! Oh, this makes me happy. Alright, one more thing before we get into the items. When I was in the call with Senpai Misaki, he asked if I could put him in the video, like animate him. And I was like, freaking heck yes! And asked if he would send me a picture of what he looks like so I can draw him. He didn't want to send an actual picture, I'm assuming for privacy reasons. Don't worry, bro, I totally understand. So I asked for a description of what he looks like. And he says, imagine a Japanese man, and that is what I look like. Now, Misaki, you're gonna have to try a little harder than that. I asked him to elaborate, and he sends me this photo to use as reference. Okay, sure. I'm pretty sure this is a girl character from an anime, but you know what? We're a progressive era. This is fine. So everyone, this is Misaki. Say hi.
What's up, guys? This is Misaki from Samurai Buyer. Please call me as Weeaboo Misaki. Thank you. Please enjoy your wonderful selection of Japanese merchandise. See you later.
So, without any further ado, let's get into what Senpai Misaki sent us.
So I got the box here. This is what Misaki sent us. He wrote, welcome to Ricefield, Jaden. I haven't opened it yet. You can see it's still, like, taped up. So let's get into this. I'm excited to see what he sent us. Alright, so the first thing I see in this box is a Full Metal Alchemist figurine. I haven't seen the anime, but I know that's a spicy anime right now. Aww. Look, he sent little Japanese Pikachus. Aww. How precious, Misaki. Aww, look, they can go with my Dragonite. Aww, that's adorable. Alright, let's see what else is in here. Uh-oh, we got ducks. What do you think, dude?
Ari likes the ducks.
It's strange that they were just, like, on the bottom. They don't have any packaging. But, okay. And we got a little Cyndaquil. Aw, he knows that I like Pokemon, so he probably sent me a lot of Pokemon stuff. Oh my! Aw, this is, aw, Misaki! Look at this! This is adorable. I've never had so many Pikachus. And then, alright, there's more ducks. There you go. And we got a little fan. Spin it up. This is hard to do with one hand. Ooh, look how pretty. Ari, you need some fan? I think I know why he sent me so much Pokemon things. When he was talking to me, he was like, oh, do you like anything specific? And I was like, no, you can just send me whatever you think I'd like. And then he's like, oh, you like Pokemon, right? And I was like, yeah, I like Pokemon. And he's like, do you like plush? And I was like, yeah, I like plush. And then he sent all the Pokemon and all the plush. Misaki, you're so awesome. It's like a big old happy family. There's the mom and the dad, and Ari's taking a child. Ari, no! No!
Hello?
Good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm good, I'm good. How are you today?
I'm very good. I'm working on the video. It should be done in the next couple days.
Okay, good, good.
All right, so
is it going to be an epic video?
Yes, it's going to be an epic video.
Thank you. All right, good.
All right, so what I'm going to do is I need for your, in the video, you to just say, like, hello to everyone and say whatever you want to say.
Okay, yep. All right, I'm ready.
All right.
Hello guys, this is Misaki from Samabaya. Konnichiwa, ni hao. Please enjoy your wonderful selection of Japanese merchandise. See you later.
Alright, that's perfect. Thank you so much.
Should I be like, funnier or?
Do you want to say another one? I can take as many takes as you want.
Yes, so is there any like funny phrase in English or?
You can say, like, hey, what's up, guys? Something like that.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, let's go again.
What's up, guys? This is Misaki. Please call me as Weabu Misaki. Thank you.
I love that one. Thank you.
No problem. Okay, Jaden, talk to you later.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I grew up only wanting to watch cartoons for the most part. I never tried to drift into other shows or movies with real people and actors. Normally, if something had actual humans in it, my 7-year-old self would be like, real people? No thanks, Boorville. I don't want to watch anything unless there's mutant super children who are birthed from a crockpot. I like to believe I'm a really open-minded person now. I don't just blow things off like that. I generally don't feel like I have the right to judge or have a strong opinion on anything unless I've researched and tried to understand every aspect of it first. That way I can use all the facts to come to my overall standpoint. It's easy to hear just one detail about something and jump to a conclusion. People form opinions based on their personal values and beliefs, but only knowing certain details can change things instantly. Here's an example. Judy saw Ron push her dog. Wow, what the heck? Ron's some rotten dog hater. Frick Ron, dude. Now hold on a sec. It's easy to believe that, but actually, Ron pushed Judy's dog because the dog attacked his child and Ron was only protecting his kid. Whoa, really? Judy needs to put her dog down. It's a hazard to everyone around it, attacking kids and crap. I can't believe she'd be okay with owning a rabid dog. She probably didn't
and take care of it. Judy's a horrible dog owner.
Okay. Untamed dogs are a safety problem for sure, especially around children. But you didn't realize the dog only attacked Ron's child because they were teasing the dog with an ice cream cone and the dog just jumped up onto him wanting a taste.
Well then, it's the dumb kid's fault for-
I'll cut off the story here because I could add so many more layers to it. But you see how quickly your views can change if you don't know all the details to something? At every new point, the resulting opinion wasn't necessarily wrong or incorrect,
although I made them extreme for emphasis,
because you were forming a standpoint based on the only information you had. But yeah, that's my tip for the day. Look more into things and do research before you make a super strong opinion on something.
This whole video got way off track real quick.
I'm gonna go back to talking about what I was gonna talk about in the first place. So TV. Once I got older, I still mainly only watch cartoons, but I've developed an extreme love for documentaries.
You don't even realize you can be interested in something you never even realized you didn't care about until you watch a documentary about it.
Like one time my best friend Kate and I sat down and watched one about the voice and puppet actor behind Elmo. It was mesmerizing.
Totally random.
You'd never even think about wanting to learn about something like that, unless it's like 4 a.m. and you're in that weird fever dream phase. I think it's funny when documentaries go all cinematic with their shots. Like when the main guy's walking, looking off into the distance, on a journey, one man versus the world. People never understand him. It's not a phase. He'll show them all. Because I can only imagine how awkward it is to set up those shots.
First, the cameraman has to walk like a quarter mile away while the main guy just waits there,
or vice versa.
Next, he has to signal he's ready for the guy to start walking. Maybe through cell phone, maybe walkie-talkie. I think it's more funny to imagine he just screams at the top of his lungs and freaks out the civilians around him. Then the guy starts walking, looking at the scenery around him, acting like he isn't being filmed from 1,300 feet away for his documentary that's gonna change the world. By the way, I don't know how anyone can walk normally when they tell themselves to. Once you tell yourself, do something normally, you pretty much just increase your chances of screwing it up by 90%.
One time I was walking across the bottom of some bleachers and I told myself, there's a lot of people I'm in plain view of right now. Don't make a scene. Just walk normally. They aren't paying attention to you. You're just some random person. And I tripped over a trash can. Anyway, there's probably other more efficient ways to get the shots. I'm not some documentary camera director.
But it's still less inspirational and more amusing when you think about taking away the music and voiceovers to imagine what it was really like to just get the base footage.
Same with reality TV shows. Kate's older sister was accepted onto a singing show once. I don't want to get into possible legal trouble by saying which one because they had to sign contracts and stuff. But she said that when they were filming their parents to portray the, oh, we're so proud of her for following her dreams kind of clip, they had Kate and her brother in the background to make it look all casual. They told them to just look like you're talking to each other while we film the foreground. So we can talk about anything and no one would know. Watermelon, 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 watermelon. I'm not big on most reality TV shows because as real as they might be, some are completely set up, some aren't. They're all dramatically enhanced to some degree. And there's a point where you start noticing, and it's hard to take anything seriously after that. What I find the most amusing are the sound effects and how crazy they are. I've been obsessed with watching Gordon Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares show, so I'm gonna use those as examples because I've watched so many.
Why are you so stubborn?
I'm not stubborn.
Like no one's striving to be better. You tell me how you feel about the frozen food.
I hate it.
Huh? Made yesterday? It was actually made 3 weeks ago.
What's the salad?
That was quick.
Yeah.
Thank you, my darling.
Enjoy.
Thank you. Cheers.
What is?
Natural with white natural. Cheddar.
Oh, this is the award-winning.
Yeah.
Great.
And why is the filet butterflied like that and cut like that?
He cuts it off and then pounds it thin.
He beats the crap out of a filet to tenderize it when it's the most stunning cut. Wow.
Ooh. You're still yawning.
Doesn't look too appetizing.
It doesn't look appetizing at all, no.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Did you catch that one? Does that sound familiar? K-
Kitchen Nightmares uses the same sound effect of some kid butchering the recorder as the pigeon documentary I talked about in my thesaurus video. Is there some, like, YouTube music library, but for documentaries we don't know about? Hey, Craig, what's the sound effect you used 43 minutes, 8 seconds into your Rubber Ducks documentary? Oh, it's Maracas underscore 05. Thanks. Yeah, I tried Maracas underscore 02, but it didn't have the exact effect I was going for. In the UK, they don't use nearly the amount of dramatic sounds American shows use. Just look at this old clip from the UK version of A Kitchen Nightmares.
Does this make you feel better shouting in front of the blue team?
I'm not shouting in front of anybody.
Is that you have to show off?
I'm... How bloody
Don't be stupid.
You.
Don't be so stupid.
No over-the-top dramatic crap? It's almost pure. Here, I'll fix it American style. Putting everything aside here, I freaking really love all of Gordon Ramsay's shows. I have a problem. I've watched, like, all of the Kitchen Nightmares. I love MasterChef. I love Hell's Kitchen. I love Hotel Hell, even though I've only seen, like, one or two. I haven't watched Gordon Behind Bars yet, but I still love it. I've never had the answer to this before, but if someone came up and asked me, "Who's your favorite celebrity?" I think I'd have to say Gordon Ramsay. Ironic, considering he's a chef and I don't eat the standard American diet. But he's a really great person from what I've gathered. Someone might think, oh, he's just a big jerk who yells at people. No, you've gotta look deeper than that. Where is your character analysis? He's a genuinely great guy who's passionate and takes pride in what he does. He's not cocky or arrogant. He's always willing to learn more, and how'd this turn into me talking about how great Gordon Ramsay is? Gordon, you're welcome for sticking up for you. Even though you can obviously handle it yourself. Anyway, I've gotten off track enough in this video. If you're ever bored, I recommend just binging the whole Kitchen Nightmares YouTube channel. They've got, like, one of the funniest comment section communities on the entire YouTube platform. Shout out to Kitchen Nightmares and Gordon Ramsay. If you ever see this, I love all your stuff and you're considered my favorite celebrity, I guess, now. I don't know. You know, I've never given shout outs or anything like this before, and it's a bit funny the first one I'm doing out of all the people is to Kitchen Nightmares and Gordon Ramsay. How about, yeah, let's end the video with a shout out from the comment section. Yeah! Let's see, this person said to give a shout out to me. Alright, big ol' shout out to me, everyone. Okay, no more shout outs, so don't ask me. Bye. Just because I know there's gonna be some people out there who are gonna be like, Jaden, you said you don't like reality shows because they can be staged or exaggerated, but then you say you like all these Gordon Ramsay shows, what the heck? Yeah, I normally am not a fan of reality shows, but I like these ones, okay? I can accept the fact it may or may not be dramatically enhanced and still enjoy it. So, also, by the way, since you're here, my buddy Ryder, or Foot of a Ferret, made a brief history of me, so you should check that out. He's a cool dude. Sorry if this sounds weird. My wisdom teeth are like, hey, we're gonna rip through your gums right now, and I'm in excruciating pain and can barely move my jaw. I've been putting off scheduling an appointment for the dentist to rip them out because I didn't want to be in pain recovering for a week. But here we are, man. Irony, am I right? Lesson learned. Teeth are jerks. Why can't they just cooperate with the rest of your body? Like, my arm never decides, hey, we're gonna grow another finger, because it freaking knows I don't need another one! This is a group body effort, teeth. Stop bringing down the team. Also, see you at VidCon Europe.
Hello everyone! So, I have a different video planned for today. I think you'll like it, and it's really special to me. As most of you know, I'm in college now. For one of my design classes, I have to create a project talking about my hero's journey. A hero's journey is a path that you go through in your life that tells you who you are and how you got there in 11 steps. Everyone has one. There's the ordinary world, call to adventure, refusal slash acceptance of the call, meeting a mentor, crossing the first threshold, road of trials, supreme ordeal, ultimate boon, refusal of the return, crossing the return threshold, and finally, master of two worlds. Today, I'm going to talk to you about my personal hero's journey. It's kind of like a draw my life, but a bit more personal. My name is Jaden. I'm an average shy girl who grew up in an average family in average surroundings, but I'm happy with it all because I love everything about them. Average is okay. You don't always need to stick out. Ever since I was little, I've had a love for drawing and art, and I never really grew out of it. I drew all the time, and I'm still trying to improve and get better. One random day, I was somehow noticed by these two wonderful people known as Tiffany and Red. They run a popular YouTube channel called Aya's Cupquake, and for some reason, they liked my art. They approached me to make animations for them, and basically opened up a whole new world of opportunity for me. As ecstatic as I was, I had to weigh my options. On one hand, these internet famous celebrities had noticed my art out of hundreds of other people and wanted to work with me, but on the other, I basically had zero experience in animation whatsoever. I was like a helpless baby bird in the world of animating. I didn't know what to do. Did I want to go down such a path completely blind? Hell yeah. Tiffany and Red were unbelievably perfect. I've never met such amazing, supportive people. They helped me with learning the ways of YouTube and were always encouraging when I needed it most, especially since I had absolutely no clue what I was doing 90% of the time. They were really the exact thing I needed starting my own path with YouTube and animation. After a lot of hard work and figuring out how to actually animate, I came up with my first few animations. One for Aya's Cupquake, and one for my own channel. Yes, I had decided to use this amazing opportunity to start my own YouTube channel. I'd been a fan of YouTube for years, and it was a secret dream of mine to have my own channel and entertain people myself. I had no idea where it would take me, but it was something I knew I wanted to do with a dying passion. I just didn't know how to start. YouTube made me happy, and I wanted to be someone who could make others smile like so many others had done for me. The first videos were posted, and the feedback from everyone was unbelievable. I'd never experienced anything like it before in my entire life. You know the feeling of when someone gives you a really great compliment and you have warm fuzzies for the rest of the day? Amplify that feeling by a million. It motivated me to work even harder and get more animations out. I couldn't get enough of the feeling of making so many people smile, but at the same time, I was starting to lose interest in everything else in my life. I wasn't managing my time well with school, I didn't want to hang out with friends as much. It was all I wanted to do, and I started not caring about anything else outside of my little online world. Then the high demand for animations started stressing me out. So many people were asking, when's the next animation? And why don't you post more often? I felt like I was letting them down. My grades started dropping, nothing drastic, but I wasn't doing as well as I normally had. I had no other interests, and to make it even more complicated, I was leaving for college in the next few months. On top of it all, I started losing confidence in myself and who I was. I'm never one to be full of myself in the first place, but I started having no faith in almost anything I did, despite all the compliments and encouraging words people have been giving me. Everything started to build up, and I felt cornered. I didn't know how to handle things, and I started melting down slowly. I also didn't talk to anyone about how I was feeling, because they didn't really understand what I was in. This whole thing was new to everyone. After a long time of confusion and just being really messed up, a miracle finally helped me get out of my rut. That amazing 100,000 milestone. Something about seeing that huge number of people who supported me and enjoyed what I do changed my view on things. This whole YouTube thing is really happening, and it's what truly makes me happy. I can make it work. It's really my dream job. I began feeling better about everything, knowing that I had the love and support from so many of you amazing people. I'm starting to fall too much in love with YouTube and uploading content for everyone. It's funny because I don't really want to be in college, I just want to have YouTube be what I do full time. But I still need to think about the future. Will I still be able to make a living without a degree? How far can YouTube actually take me? There's so much I still need to consider, and it can be overwhelming at times. I don't know if I'll be able to continuously balance them both at the same time, and I'm gonna have to start making some serious decisions at some point in the future. Things will start coming together eventually. It's all just jumbled up at the moment. I'm gonna end up being happy no matter what, because things always have a way with working themselves out. I really am so blessed to be where I am. YouTube and all the support from you guys have shaped me to become better as an animator, artist, and person. I'm never gonna be able to show how thankful I am for that, because it doesn't happen to everyone. I just got lucky. I'm gonna find a perfect balance between everything one day. I'm gonna become confident in my skills and not be so hypocritical with myself. I want to be able to be comfortable with my art and not be so self-conscious because I am still struggling with my confidence. Also, I want to make an impact on other people's lives just like YouTube has done to mine. Everyone deserves to enjoy what they're doing because life is too precious to live it being unhappy. Don't let opportunities pass you by. You need to take a leap of faith every once in a while. I hope you all enjoyed my little life slash YouTube story. Maybe this will make you think about your own hero's journey and where it's taking you. It was really enjoyable reliving how I got to where I am, and to this day I still don't know why I'm here. I think about how lucky I am all the time, and I'd like to thank every single one of you. Also, say hello to my professor because this is the exact project that I'm turning in and he'll be grading this. Hello, Professor Haywood. Thank you for watching, everyone. Bye! Reach your biggest